You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. Well, it's been quite a week, has it not? My goodness. Got my mother from the airport on Thursday. That was an event in and of itself, but her luggage showed up on a different plane 2 hours after she got there. And they said, oh, well, don't worry, we'll deliver it to you. They don't know my neighborhood. And so they didn't, in fact, deliver it. And so Friday, we had to go back, make our way back to the airport and retrieve her luggage. And the thing about that, I don't know if you remember, but my mom is on oxygen. The power cord for her oxygen unit was in the luggage. And we could not find an adapter that would power up her oxygen unit. So it was quite a long evening for us that Thursday evening. But we're here now. I didn't know until this morning if I was going to be able to get out of the neighborhood, but I found a way, as did all of you. And so although we are few in number, well, let's just say that we're here and we're going to worship in spirit and in truth this morning. So the message continues in 1 John. I'm in chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. John writes about Jesus overcoming the world. Listen to what he says. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and follow his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whoever has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and with the blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. See, John is telling us here that all who believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Messiah, all who believe that fact about Jesus have been born of God. That's all of you. That's good to know, but what exactly do we have to believe about Jesus in order to be born of God, in order to be Christ followers, in order to be children of the Most High God? What specifically do we have to believe in our hearts to know that we are in fact saved, born again, justified, whatever word you want to insert there, it all means the same thing. What are the things specifically, if I were taking notes this morning, what would I write down that I would need to believe in order to be saved? Well, John tells us in this passage. According to John, the three things that we have to believe about Jesus in order to be born of God are, one, we must believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, born of a woman. That's the first point. The second point, we must believe that he is God's Son, born of a woman, yes, which made him totally human, and God's only begotten Son, which makes him totally divine. Totally human, totally divine at the same time. I know it kind of jumbles the mind when you try to get your mind wrapped around it, but it's a mystery. It's of God, it's not of the world. And so take it from John here in this scripture. God is telling us that we have to believe that Jesus Christ is born of a woman and also his one and only begotten Son. And then the third thing, we have to believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. In fact, he's the only one who's capable. He's the only one that has the right character. He's the only one with the correct birthright. He's the only one with the right makeup to save the world. Only Jesus, no one else. Now, it's great to know these things, but John doesn't stop there. He goes on to tell us that our faith, yours and mine, is not merely a question of head knowledge, but there's a real ethical heart component to it. John says, if we love the one who conceives the child, we'll surely love the child who was conceived. The reality test on whether or not we love God's children is this. Do we love God? Do we keep his commandments? The proof that we love God comes when we keep his commandments. How do you know you love God? You obey his commandments. So, as many of you know this morning, our focus as the church is on loving God and loving people, right? Loving God, loving people, that's kind of what we do as the church, yes? So, I'm here to tell you that our focus is right on target with the biblical mandate that comes with believing that Jesus is the Messiah. See, the point here is that faith, your faith, my faith, and the love of God are inseparable. You can't have one without the other. If we say we love God, then surely we must love his children, yes? And if we say we love God, then we must keep his commandment to love his children. You see how it all fits together? So then we have a little bit of a reality check. Because we live in this fallen, broken world, and we're all sinners who fall short of the glory of God. And so we realize sometimes it's really hard to love our neighbor, isn't it? Or is it just me? It is difficult to love our neighbor sometimes when we look at the world, when we see the world through the world's eyes, from a worldly perspective. John tells us here that for the believer, God's commandments, even the one to love your neighbor, aren't burdensome. But Pastor, sometimes it feels really burdensome. From God's perspective, for the person who has the love of Christ in them, that's all believers, it is not difficult, it is not troublesome, it is not impossible for the believer to love our neighbor. Why? Because John says every God-begotten person conquers the world's ways. Did you know you have the power and the authority within you because of the Christ that dwells in you as a believer to conquer the ways of the world? The conquering power that brings the world to its knees is your faith. The person who wins out over the world's ways is simply the one who believes Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the divine Christ, God's one and only begotten Son. John says, he experienced a life-giving birth and a death-killing death. It's an interesting way to look at Christ. Not only birth from the womb, but also baptismal birth of his ministry and sacrificial death on the cross. And all the while, the Holy Spirit is confirming the truth for us, the reality of God's presence at Jesus' baptism and at his crucifixion that brings those occasions alive for you and me. It's a triple testimony. The Spirit, the baptism, the crucifixion, and let's not forget about the fourth element in all of that, the resurrection. All in perfect agreement. So how does this affect us? Y'all are asking some really great questions this morning. I'll tell you how this affects us. Once we accept who Jesus is, once we accept the eternal, life-giving relationship that Jesus offers us through his birth, his baptism, his ministry, his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection, once we have a mind renewal and a heart renewal concerning all of that, then our response must be, in our faith, to love all of God's children. And to be a witness, giving our own testimony to everyone that will listen, our testimony about who he is and what he has done for us in our life on a personal level. Your testimony is important. Why is our testimony important, Pastor? Because your testimony, your story about the faith that you have in God, where you have encountered him in your life, like we talk about in our class meetings, through the death and resurrection of the Son, by the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit, your testimony is the very movement of God's church in the world. Spreading the truth that conquers the world, vanquishes the forces of evil, vanquishes sin, sickness, and death. Your faith and witness win the victory over the world. Don't underestimate your testimony. Never underestimate your story. Your story has power and authority in this fallen, broken world. Tell your story to anyone who will hear it. In that light this morning, I have a testimony. I have more to add to my testimony, I guess is the best way to say it. Witnessing the power of faith in Jesus Christ. It was 3 years ago, almost, that our daughter-in-love Monique was admitted to the hospital because she had complications with her pregnancy. It's hard to believe it's been almost 3 years, but it has been. And it was our son Freddie's and Monique's first child, and it's our 10th grandchild. And so we had been anticipating the birth of this child with joy and thanksgiving. And I recall that as things unfolded, Angela and I were so appreciative of the continued prayers and love that were poured out by our church family. I'm convinced, Angela's convinced, that prayer is a powerful force. I think you are too. So the goal when Monique was admitted to the hospital was to keep baby Noah in the womb for as long as possible. And so we were getting ready for a long hospital stay for her to make that happen. But as it happened, her condition wouldn't allow for Noah to stay put. And so as you recall, he was delivered. It was on a Wednesday afternoon around 5 p.m. He was just shy of a pound and not quite 11 inches long. The first time I ever heard this term, micro preemie. I'd never heard that before. And needless to say, this unexpected event led to a difficult journey. And so after 24 hours in the NICU, the rough patches began to show up. And so we turned to the only place we knew to turn, to our faith in God. We knew from where our strength would come. We weren't sure how things would go. And so we turned to Jesus in those moments and allowed him to carry the weight of all that the family was going through. And I am so blessed and appreciative of each of you because you came alongside us in our time of need and you lifted us up. And we will always be grateful for that. Because of that support, because of your obedience to the command of God to love God's children, there was a peace that we witnessed that settled over everyone that was involved. I remember little Noah was baptized by the hospital chaplain there in the NICU in Denver. That simple sacrament, the pouring of water, an outward physical sign of an inward spiritual grace. That simple sacrament brought peace to Freddie and Monique, to me and Angela, because God's peace comes from faith in Jesus Christ. Let me say that again if you're taking notes. God's peace comes from your faith in Jesus Christ. You ever wonder where peace comes from? That's the source. God's peace comes when we love God and keep His commandment to love His children. God's peace comes to those who lean on Him for strength in the good moments and in the bad moments. When your house is dry, when your carpet is soaking wet, God's peace comes to those who love Christ and keep His commandments. And so in the middle of all those hectic events, Freddie and Monique surprised us because they hadn't picked a middle name for Noah. Do you recall what name they picked? Aziel. It's a Hebrew name. Aziel. It means God is my strength. Big name for a little guy. God is my strength, the power of faith in God, the power of prayer. And now, as little Noah approaches his third birthday, we're witnessing the power of God in his little life. He's strong, he's gaining strength, he's joyful. He spreads joy to everyone around him. He's responding well to his therapies. His life is growing richer and more full with every passing day. He's got a thing that helps him stand up. And man, if he doesn't love to stand up, it's a new experience for him. I guess we take it for granted. And so he's full of life and joy now. And we know that the road ahead of him is still going to be challenging. But we also know whatever comes, it will become a part of our testimony. Because God is indeed our strength, and the faith in Jesus Christ as Savior causes us to respond in love and in prayer, because just like John tells us, we know that everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ and that He has been born of God, when we believe that, and we love God's children, we too are born of God. John says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and follow His commandments, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whoever has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith.
Our faith is the victory.
You have conquered the world through your faith. Each of you. Christ in you has conquered the world, giving you the power and the authority to go out beyond those glass doors and conquer the world. Whatever it throws at you, it's no match for Jesus Christ. High water, drought, whatever, no match. Who is the one who overcomes the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and with the blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our third hymn, Bind Us Together. We'll sing it twice through, yes? Yes. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.